We're joined now by Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, the newspaper of record in Louisiana. And Mark, I was noting a little bit earlier that we are 9 months and 9 days away from the election of 2019, and we are relatively quiet. We have a couple of candidates opposing John Bel Edwards, but the other statewide offices are really quiet, and if people are going to challenge Billy Nungesser or Jeff Landry or Mike Strain or Jim Donilon or Kyle Ardoin, they've got to get moving quickly. What's going on?
Well, and that is true, and we're not seeing much action. And by action, I define that as, you know, going out and talking to the people that write the big checks that fund these campaigns, by going out and hiring the political operatives that are employed by all of these campaigns. We're just not seeing that. And I'm suspecting that we're going to see the Democrats put all their eggs in the gubernatorial basket this year.
Well, the Democrats certainly want John Bel Edwards to be reelected. It is a red state. He is a blue candidate who defied the odds in 2015, defeating a weak candidate, a person who was wounded, and David Bruce Vitter. This time around, he's not going to have the luxury of running against a candidate who consorted with prostitutes, but he is running against the grain in Louisiana. Does that really matter, or is he popular enough and has a big enough war chest that he can cruise on to victory?
Well, he certainly is popular enough, and he also has a large war chest, which will prove to be very helpful. However, this is a red state, and there are a lot of Republicans, though he has the support of many, but there are a lot of Republicans in this state that want to see the governor's mansion return to a Republican.
Well, Eddie Rasponi was first in the race. Governor John Bel Edwards all along said he was running for re-election, but he hasn't done a whole lot. It's been several months. When is he going to pull the trigger?
Well, I think, I guess we're going to have to see. Within the next couple of months, he's going to have to pull the trigger. He has been out there hiring national political operatives to run as strategists, to run his campaign. So, I mean, he is out kind of putting together his team, but, if we get into February without him doing anything, then you have to really question what the effectiveness might be.
And Ralph Abraham, congressman from North Louisiana, who is part of the new Congress that convenes today. He is running against John Bel Edwards, and I would imagine he'll be spending a lot of time in Louisiana in 2019.
And already has been. In fact, he spent much of his time during the shutdown down in Louisiana raising money and doing his politicking. I think that because he is fairly unknown, that it's easy to dismiss him, but I don't think that that's a wise thing to do if you're a Democrat. I mean, as you have noted, that the last race was Opie versus Darth Vader. It's not going to be that way this time.
I like that. Opie versus Darth Vader. And John Bel Edwards has a record now as governor, and I'm sure that will be fair game. His opponents will be taking aim at that record. But can they effectively characterize him as the proverbial tax-and-spend liberal?
Well, they will try, for sure. You know, and truth is that, you know, he pushed through a sales tax increase, however way you define it, and there are different ways that you can define it, but he did push through the sales tax increase, but there's a good argument to be made that, you know, that it had to be done.
877-217-5757. We'll roll into the last segment with more pearls of wisdom from Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, is with us, and we're talking about what's happening in our world for 2019. We'll look back a bit about 2018, which was an interesting year. But Mark, as we approach the election, you said that the Republican challengers of Governor John Bel Edwards will be noting that he increased taxes. Well, the governor, who hosts his monthly radio show from this studio, says he has cut taxes, that he didn't raise taxes, he has reduced taxes. Who's right?
Well, I mean, they both are in the way that you. It depends on how you define these things. He's saying that he's you know, cut spending, and you know, and he has done that. But sales tax has risen since he came into office by a penny, and it was to drop off to that penny was supposed to drop off during the last session on June 30th, and it did drop off, but we added 4.5% more. So the thing is that when he came in office, the sales tax was 4.5% or 0.45%, less than a half a penny, right, more than it was before, and that's very confusing for me.
You had a front page story on Sunday as the year closed saying the age of cheap electricity in Louisiana is nearing a close. What's going on?
Well, Entergy, there are two things that are factors that are involved, and one is that there's an expansive growth in industry in South Louisiana, which is going to increase the amount of demand on the electricity. At the same time, Entergy has a number, about a half a dozen of these old electricity plants that they want to replace with newer, more efficient plants. And the way that this works is that if they build a new plant, then we, the utility, their customers have to pay for it. And that's where the rub comes in. A lot of the big manufacturers are saying, wait a minute, if you let us out of the deal, then out of the system, then you won't have to build as many new plants. You know, but Entergy is saying, wait, if we let you out of the system, then, you know, the things are not going to be the same for the remaining customers that are in the system.
As the year closed, Mark Ballard also had a story that was top of the Metro section. The industries that pay pilots to guide their goods up and down the Mississippi River on seagoing ships have unsuccessfully tried to get the governor to remove regulations they say are biased. What's happening here?
This again is another one of how you define it. The river pilots say, "Well, we followed the rules, you know, and we made a recommendation to the governor for the three on this commission that decides who wins, rather the river pilots versus industry wins. There's four river pilots representative and four industry people representative, and three are supposed to have nothing to do with either the industry or the pilots. The pilots recommended three independent commissioners, and the industry didn't make any recommendations saying that they shouldn't, that the governor should have found them on his own. And that's what this is all basically what the fight is going to be about, but what it's really about is whether they're going to increase the pay for the pilots down the road. And those three votes are going to be decisive in that.
Well, these pilots, as you note, they make $473,000 a year. Why would they need an increase in pay?
Well, I can only tell you what the pilots say, and that is you know, that they have not had an increase in pay in the last 10 years, and so they have had increases in pay, but it was a kind of a set into the contract, and they now the new contract is up, and they should be having increases like all of us should be.
$473,000 a year. That's hard to relate to in a state that still has a minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, which would be $15,080 a year. How can somebody complain about $473,000, Mark?
Well, and there is your argument. So, though the industry officials that are against this are also making $500,000 and more, so.
That's true. In some cases, you are correct. But what kind of qualifications are there to be a riverboat pilot?
Well, it's a fairly long involved process of, you know, there's training and then there is an apprenticeship that goes along with it. They're basically taking these seagoing vessels worth tens of millions of dollars of goods on them up the Mississippi River. They need to know where all the sandbars are. They need to know, you know, what's the best way to do it in the current. And so there is that. Then there's the argument that the only way that I can apply for that job is to have somebody who is a river pilot vouch for me. That's the only way to get in. There's that argument as well.
Louisiana finished this year of 2018, last year of another year of carnage, the most murderous state in America for three decades straight and running. And in Baton Rouge, there was a mild decrease in the number of homicides, but I don't know how we can get excited about going from 106 to 85 in a city as small as Baton Rouge. We still have one of the highest rates in America, but it is down about 20%, and certainly the city leaders are touting that. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I kind of agree with you on this, but as a regular person, is that, boy, when you hear 20%, you think, boy, that's great. New Orleans, by the way, also went down, too. But you hear 20%, you think, boy, that's great. But then you hear, what was it, 86 for a city our size? You think, my gracious, what's going on? And I think that what's going on is that we have a high poverty level, and that contributes to to more crime, and more crime contributes to more homicides.
And we had some cases of, quote, justifiable killings. And one involves two LSU football players who were making a Craigslist deal, according to their story, in North Baton Rouge and killed a man in self-defense, including one of the people involved, according to reports, is Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, a star running back for the Tigers. We had another LSU player of note on the basketball team, a starter, fine young man, Wade Sims, killed in North Baton Rouge. What is going on in this community? It is not a good place right now, Mark Bauer.
No, it is, and the crime is bad. I think, that's what they found themselves in, that community where there is crime. And so that's what happens. I mean, I think it's not because that athletes are more prone to being in there, but that they have walked into that area where there is more crime. The criminal mindset.
Delia reflects on something you discussed earlier, saying conventional wisdom holds that Louisiana is a red state, but conventional wisdom is often wrong. Synchronize our elections with the federal cycle, reduce the number of elections, and end what amounts to voter suppression measures. And I think, writes Delia, we'd find a purple state with shades of blue running throughout.
Well, maybe so. it is true, like when you have a large number of people showing up to vote, that there tends to be more blue in that red, particularly in the cities.
Well, in Louisiana, we used to be a blue state, and in 1996 and in 1992, we actually voted for a Democrat for president in Bill Clinton. But those days are probably gone for a while, Mark Ballard. As we look to 2020, I can see no Democrat winning in Louisiana in the presidential cycle. Now, the Democrat may win the election, but if the election were today in Louisiana, I think Donald Trump would win here in our state convincingly.
Probably so.
And probably in every state in the SEC, except for Florida. Florida might go the other way. A listener,
Florida has been on the edge for some time.
Yes, it has. So. And, of course, it has gone to Democrats, including President Obama. A listener, this is Tracy at the Capitol, asking about what may be a really, really aggressive race for the state Senate this year between Pat Smith and Cleo Fields. Now, those two, they're already ramping up. That's going to be a fun race to watch.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. And they both of them are kind of little political powerhouses, and so that should be a fun race to watch. Yes, and they're both ramping up.
And I remember Cleo Fields when he was elected, when he was still a student at Southern University, I believe, 1987. And we're 32 years removed, and Cleo is not an old man. He was born in 62, November 22nd, so what would that make him, 56 years old? If he gets elected, he's got plenty of time. And he's been a congressman. He was in a runoff for governor with Mike Foster. And Cleo Fields is one of those people I would have suspected he would resurface, and he has, Mark Ballard.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we we're going to see a fairly exciting race. But Pat Smith also is a fairly formidable candidate, much more formidable than Cleo has faced in the past. So
you're right, and Cleo, a listener notes, lost to Lambert Boissier in a run for the Public Service Commission in his last political endeavor. Pat Smith is strong, and she's a graduate of Kent State, a school that is the alma mater of Nick Saban, and she represents LSU. And Garrett Graves, who attended the University of Alabama, is the congressman representing LSU. So that's a Nick Saban connection, as we know. So that is interesting. We're open-minded people here in the Capital Region.
Indeed.
And the most fair-minded journalist I know is Mark Ballard. It's good to spend time with you in 2019, and let's keep it going. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, take care.